thank you for joining me this evening for my very first annual meeting at Raven Radio. My name is Becky Myers again, and I am the general manager as well as your host. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of this radio community, members, volunteers, staff, listeners at this incredible station. Raven Radio is a lifeline in so many ways. You expect news and information from us, and on that point, we're here for you every day. But let's not forget the essential nourishment that the music you hear on KCAW feeds your soul. Your social calendar wouldn't quite be the same without the community events that you see on the website or hear on the air. And Raven Radio is an essential part of all of our lives. Sometimes at the time that you hear us, all the time, and sometimes just when you need us the most. You make it possible for us to be there for you. As new technologies develop and as our relationships with audio shift, know that the staff at KCAW is always thinking about how to better serve you. We've ventured into the digital world even more deeply, and we're working on optimizing the digital spaces we already occupy. Our goal is to be there for Ravens everywhere. We're always looking for opportunities to shine a light on Southeast Alaska, and we're already at work in deep partnership with Coast Alaska and Alaska Public Broadcasting, Inc. to do so. For those of you who are in Angoon, Elfin Cove, Cake, Pelican, Port Alexander, Tenneke Springs, and Yakutat, Raven Radio is a proud partner to be a part of your lives. It's a challenge to be so far away from you and to keep the signal flowing. Know that we're hatching a plan to assess the state of your transmission facilities while working to find support for repairs and future-proofing. I hope to meet you all this summer when, hopefully, fingers crossed, this plan comes to fruition. Volunteer participation and community involvement have always been key components of our mission. KCAW is, first and foremost, a radio community. Our members make our mission possible, and our volunteers and staff work day in and day out on the exactitudes of that mission. We are committed to creating opportunities for learning and involvement, and we'll look deep at how we do that over the next year. There is so much more to be said about Raven Radio and how we all thrive because of your involvement. Stay tuned for more as we report on our operations for the past year, and we invite your input and questions, and we will take calls near the end of the program. But first, I have a few community announcements. So, to the friends of Raven Radio that we've lost this year, I want to mention their names: Bill Davis, Tom Conley, Will Swagel, and Dave Ingallinera. Thank you so much for your service to the station. I also want to say hello to one of Raven Radio's newest folks, newest DJs. Former program director Valerie Lipinski had a baby by the name of Teresa Raquel. Also, welcome to Kevin Hurtley, the Coast Alaska IT director and our newest office resident. As well, hello and welcome to all of our newest staff members, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, Catherine Rose, and Mackenzie DeVries. Welcome to the station. We are also grateful for the time and talent lent to us by Emily Kwong and Rachel Cassandra this year in the Raven Radio newsroom. You are all deeply missed. Lily Herwald and Chris Wilbur, they have been involved with the station for a long time, and while they may have left Sitka, they will forever be a part of the Raven Radio family. Thank you for your contributions, and thank you to Lily for your leadership. As well, another thank you goes out to the fantastic Robin Sherman for stepping into the interim general manager role. We truly appreciate you. Now, I won't keep you all from the news that you've been waiting to hear. Who is now on the Raven Radio board? First, we will break into music, but soon we'll be joined by Kenley Jackson, who will announce our new board members. Thank you.
evening, and we are back. My name is Kenley Jackson, and I have the pleasure of serving on the board here. And tonight, I get to talk a little bit about the board and about our elections that just happened. So, as of tonight, we have three board members who are continuing in appointments on the board: Angie Bowers, myself, Kenley Jackson, and Cameo Padilla. And by the quorum of the KCAW membership, the following board members have also been elected: Perry Edwards, Dan Edelaine, and Claire Sanchez. So thank
Yay,
you so much.
Excellent.
And we appreciate everybody that voted in our election as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the board is really fun to be a part of, and I feel like it's a pleasure to serve. We have a wonderful group of people who all bring many different passions and levels of experience, and it's just great to be able to support the station. So our full board and current officers are Gretchen Clark is the president, myself, Kenley Jackson, I serve as the vice president and Coast Alaska representative. Mandy Evans was our treasurer. She just resigned, so thank you so much, Mandy, for your service. Angie Bowers is our secretary. Lauren Bell, Perry Edwards, Dan Edelaine, Ted Howard, Robbie Littlefield, Cameo Padilla, and Claire Sanchez are all the members of the board. So thank you so much, everyone, for serving.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And also, Mandy Evans is continuing as our at-large Coast Alaska representative. So thanks, Mandy and Ted Laffenberg, for your many years of service on the board this year. They've both stepped back, and we appreciate all the work they've done.
Indeed. We will be joined in a moment by Molly Kabler. And first, let's start with a little music, a little something to start us out. Welcome back, everybody. I am joined by Molly Kabler. Thank you so much for being here this evening.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. So let's talk Coast Alaska.
Sure. Let's talk about Coast Alaska. So Raven Radio is a founding station member of Coast Alaska. Early in the 90s, we had a conversation here in Sitka, ultimately developed into the collaboration known as Coast Alaska. It's also a legal entity. Basically, a independent nonprofit consortium that's dedicated to improving service to listeners by sharing services and increasing capacity of all of the stations that are members of Coast Alaska. At this point, they're the core five that started: KTOO in Juneau, KRBD in Ketchikan, KFSK in Petersburg, KSDK in Wrangell. And beginning this year, we have a new member station, KUCB in Unalaska. So a coastal station in the Aleutians.
Yes.
So all the stations are really healthy businesses and focused and deeply connected to the communities they serve. Localism is a community, is a Coast Alaska value. So despite having a connectedness across the stations, it's what happens locally between the station and their community that's really key. The regional entity of Coast Alaska provides collaborative services in the area of accounting and payroll, membership, underwriting, sales, regional news, engineering, and IT, and then also represents reputation to state and federal funding agencies for many years. A lot of people thought the only person that they really knew of from Coast Alaska was Ed Schoenfeld. He was the voice of Coast Alaska as the regional news director. He retired from public radio last spring, and we have a new regional news director. But for many years, we had great service from Ed Schoenfeld, who came here to Sitka and filled in sometimes when the news team here were on vacation. So Coast Alaska also has begun to sell services to other stations that aren't Coast member stations as a way to help reduce overall operating costs. And that's been moving along pretty well over the last few years. The main business office is in Juneau. However, as the executive director, I'm here in the cable house and happy to be so. And you mentioned earlier, Becky, that the Coast Alaska IT director, Kevin Hurtley, is also here now.
Indeed.
And based in Sitka and working out of the cable house. So really happy about that. Other Coast Alaska employees that you might encounter if you're someone who lives in Sitka would be Jacob Resnick. As I mentioned, he's the new regional news director, and he'll be here in January.
That's
so
right.
You'll hear him on the air. And then Rich Parker also comes here. He's our engineer, director of engineering, and he comes to work here at the station and help keep things all operational. The Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission, which is a state group, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the federal funder, continue to highlight our organization, Coast Alaska, as a model for collaboration. Just out of interest, our next piece, the Coast Alaska Annual Board and Managers Annual Face-to-Face Gathering is going to take place in Ketchikan in March. It happens here in Sitka on a 5 or 6 year rotation. I'm almost finished, but I just wanted to let you know a couple of things, just a quick funding update from state and federal sources. So the fiscal year 20 governor's preliminary budget was released last week. And it contains flat funding, which is the same as we've had in fiscal year 18 and 19 for public radio and public television. Governor Dunleavy has stated that this is a preliminary budget and that we can expect an amended version in January that will reflect his campaign promises. We don't know exactly what that means. There was no mention of public media as a part of the campaign in terms of expectations there. On the federal side, curiously, the Senate and House approved the legislation that was the spending bill for fiscal year 2018 and 2019, and that was signed by the president. So that is all in place. So the federal funds that Raven Radio receives come from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and they have been already approved. They're actually approved 2 years in advance. So this fall's legislation and approval is for 2 years out from now.
Yeah,
which is really great. Couple things to know is that the bill fully funded public broadcasting, $445 million for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in 2020, $27 million for Ready to Learn, which is a TV initiative, and $20 million for a new annual public broadcasting interconnection and infrastructure project. This represents the same funding that we've had at the federal level for several years.
It stayed flat as well.
And serves all of the stations all across the nation. One thing to know is that there's broad bipartisan support for public broadcasting at the federal level, and national advocacy includes something called the funding level at the Senate and House. They have something called the Dear Colleague Letter, and Senator Dan Sullivan, one of our senators, was one of the letter's co-sponsors. He's a strong supporter of funding for public broadcasting at the federal level. And Senator Murkowski has always been a very strong supporter. She serves on the Appropriations Committee, so she doesn't actually participate in the letter, but we definitely feel her support as well. And Representative Young has been on record as supporting important funding for public broadcasting at the federal level.
That's great.
So thanks so much for letting me join you and really appreciate all the things that happen here at Raven Radio.
Well, we're proud partners of Coast Alaska. We're glad to have you in the building and also to be a part of an amazing and innovative collaboration amongst community and public stations. So thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So I have a lot more to share with all of you. One of the functions of the annual meeting is to let folks know about Raven Radio's financial position. And I'm happy to report that we are in a relatively stable financial position thanks to the funding that Molly had mentioned, but also the support of our members. I wanted to point out that overall in this past year, we saw a decrease of almost 5% in our state funding. But offsetting that was an increase slightly in federal funding, about 8.69%. Our membership numbers for this current fiscal year are tracking somewhat behind our expectations right now. We've had a 81,000 goal for the fall membership drive. And as of our November numbers, we have about $71,317 of cash in the door, with $77,776 pledged. Should we have 100% of those pledges fulfilled, we will still end the year short at $3,224. That is not horrible news. It is not too late to help us push that number in the right direction. You can go to the KCAW website right now to give a year-end gift that will count towards that fall goal and provide important operational support for the station. This year's expense budget was very lean to start and carried some important and significant one-time expenses, including the recruitment services for my position and additional temporary staffing. We have two big restricted projects in the works for the next fiscal year. One is a physical plant repair to the Cable House property, specifically the Devilfish Studios. And the second is a technical assessment of Raven Radio's translator facilities in Angoon, Elfin Cove, Cake, Pelican, Port Alexander, Sanicee Springs, and Yakutat. The stewardship of the Raven Radio Foundation's assets is crucial, as is our service to our listening community, particularly in the places where KCAW is a lifeline, quite literally. Our fiscal year ends on July 1st, it begins on July 1st. It ends on June 31st. Last year, fiscal year 18, our total revenue was $624,000, roughly $486,000. Our current budget's total operating revenues are $640,917. How does that break down, you say? What are all these numbers? Well, on the revenue side of things, listener membership constitutes about 27% of our funding. This past year, GoFundMe and the Winter Fellow program contributions amounted to about 2% of our annual revenues. Underwriting is about 23% of the cash that we get in the door, and we receive rent from the other tenants of the Cable House to the tune about 5% of the year, or of the year's revenues. Retail operations constitutes 3% of that total, as are special events, another 3%. The raffle, our dividend income, operating grants, and other production fees amount to about 2% of the revenue are in the door. And then state funding is about 13% of our total revenue, and federal funding about 22%. We do have these numbers and graphs all listed on the website. For our members out there, you will be receiving an email that contains this information and a report. Additionally, expenses. Personnel constitutes about 54% of the expenses that Raven Radio has taken on, with salary benefits and federal taxes for 4 full-time and several part-time employees. Coast Alaska constitutes 20% of our expenses. That includes regional accounting, membership, development, news, engineering, and state and federal representation. Programming is about 6% of our expenses for the past fiscal year. That included APRN, NPR, BBC, and other subscription services. Our occupancy costs are about 8% of that And that includes our utilities, the necessary insurance, development costs. The money that we put into raising funds is about 4% of that amount, with that being mugs and apparel and special event expenses. On the technical side, in 2018, we put in 5% of our total expenses towards equipment repair and maintenance, and that includes the translator costs. And administration was just about 3%. That includes office supplies, postage, dues, board costs, etc. And so, again, if you would like to see those numbers painted out in all sorts of colorful graphs, we have that on the website for your download. So I have a little more information. Let's talk about audience. Who is listening and who is interacting with Raven Radio? Our online streaming signal has between 15,000 and 40,000 connections each month. That is astronomical, higher than our population here in Sitka by several magnitudes. In November, let's see, that was 21,177 people. They've they accessed the website on average, usually 22,000 people access the kcaw.org website. We regularly have 6,000 unique visitors per week. Some weeks, that number is greater, of course, depending on what's being played. Getting audience analytics on our FM signal throughout all of our communities of coverage, however, is a little tricky. We're looking into ways to collect this data meaningfully. This will be the point where I say, please take note of your questions. You can call in a little while with those questions, and we'll answer them on the air at 747-5877 or toll free at 1-800-478-5877. So to continue, Facebook. Facebook, y'all, we are at 10,995 followers. Did you hear that? We need only 5 more people to hit that 10 grand number of followers on Facebook. If you haven't liked our page on Facebook quite yet, now is one of the finest times in the whole world to do so. So on that report that I've been making mention of, that has a graph that showed the growth of our Facebook followership over the past few years. So it's interesting information. Make sure to take a look at that. Our posts reach regularly tens of thousands of people. Last week's posts reached more than 10,221 people on Facebook. That's incredible. And those are a lot of people that live outside of the Sitka area. So Raven Radio connects people everywhere. What else? Oh, we're on Instagram now. Thanks for getting us on Instagram. Max and Kelsey, I believe, did that. And right now, since starting in June, we have 433 followers. But if you are also on Instagram, take this moment and look us up. We are at KCAW Radio. So along with this membership audience stuff, I wanted to tell everybody that we have scheduled the next meeting of the Community Advisory Board, or the CAB. The CAB focuses on programming review and gathering input on the community's needs to advise KCAW's governing board, and members of the public are invited to join us. That's you. The meeting will be held on January 9th, starting at 5:30 p.m. The meeting here, or it will be here, at the Cable House. If you are interested in contributing to this committee, please join us. And again, that meeting will be held on Wednesday, January 9th, here at the Cable House, starting at 5:30 p.m. In just a moment, we will be joined by Raven Radio's newest staff member, Mackenzie DeVries, in talking about development. But first, a little music. We'll be right back. And welcome again, dear friends, to the Raven Radio annual meeting on air until 8 p.m. This is Becky. I'm your host for the evening. I'm also the general manager here. And it is my pleasure to introduce all of you to Mackenzie DeVries, our new development director. Say hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. I'm really happy to be your new development director. And I'm looking forward to connecting with our community through Raven Radio. Raven Radio's annual membership goal consists of several fundraising elements: the fall and spring membership drives, sustaining members, the calendar year-end campaign, the Pick, Click, Give campaign, and our Kindness of Ravens level of giving. For our fall drive, donors have pledged $77,776 so far towards meeting our goal of $81,000. The good news is that there is still time to pledge and help us meet our target. Our goal for the Pick, Click, Give campaign in February and March this year is $4,500. And we're hoping to make $96,500 for our spring drive that will occur in early April. Each of these membership elements add up to achieve our annual membership goal. And thank you to all of our current business sponsors and those who have supported the station this past year through underwriting. Please take a minute when you are about town to thank those businesses you hear on air supporting Raven Radio. There are opportunities to get your business or organization's message out to the community through paid sponsorships of on-air announcements and web tiles at kcaw.org. For more information on promoting your business or organization through Raven Radio, contact me at development@kcaw.org or just give me a call at the station.
Nice.
We are continuing to solicit funds to support our Winter News Fellowship program. The ability to attract excellent reporters, such as our current fellow, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, to boost our news department's capacity is a value to the entire listening community. To support the Winter News Fellowship program or for more information, get in touch with Becky by calling the station.
Yeah, and you can email me too, becky@kcaw.org. I'm there for you.
We also have a secure account ready to receive gifts from your will, trust, or estate. Money in our legacy fund is not used for annual operating expenses, but rather its use has to be specifically approved by the board of directors. If you're interested in giving to our legacy fund or you want to learn more, go ahead and get in touch with Becky again by calling the station.
Yes.
A quick word on employer matching. So many employers will match your Raven Radio membership, which doubles the impact of your gift. If that's something that you're interested in doing, especially as we near the end of the fiscal year, check with your human resources department and see if your workplace allows employer matching contributions. The annual Solstice Cruise and the Stardust Ball combined make up the special events portion of our budget. Thank you to all who have purchased tickets to attend these events and to our event sponsors. You want to look out for our Solstice Cruise tickets. They're going to be going on sale beginning mid-May. And for our Stardust tickets, that will be going on sale at the end of September. And both will be available at Old Harbor Books. The Raven Radio Retail Shop continues to offer t-shirts. We have sweatshirts, hats, mugs, bumper stickers, and many more things. The retail shop, it's an important part of raising funds for the station's operational expenses. The shop is open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. weekdays through Christmas Eve, the 24th. But you can shop online anytime at kcaw.org/shop.
Indeed. And we appreciate all of you members out there.
We do. And speaking of appreciation.
Oh, hey.
We are always looking for new ways to show Raven Radio members how much we love and appreciate them. One of our longstanding traditions is our annual 4th of July root beer float party. And we are also developing monthly e-newsletters to keep our members more updated on Raven Radio happenings and opportunities.
Speaking of opportunities
to get involved, let's talk about the development committee. We're hoping to make our next Stardust Ball a more grassroots and community-driven event, and we want input from Sitkins on the theme, the band, the costume contest, the decorations, all of it.
Yes.
If you are interested in helping to shape the next Stardust Ball, then consider coming to our development committee meeting. It's going to be held on Wednesday, February 13th at 6 p.m. at Raven Radio.
Yes, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, because that is a beloved event.
It's always fun together.
Your voice heard.
Yes.
Then definitely come to that event. If you have questions about anything development related that I've spoken about, feel free to give me a call at the station or send me an email at development@kcaw.org.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mackenzie.
Thank you, Becky.
Absolutely. We'll be joined in just a moment by the news team and Rob Woolsey. But first, a little music. Let's play. Hello and welcome back to Raven Radio's annual meeting. This is Becky. I am joined in the studio by Rob and Catherine. Hello.
Hi Becky.
Hi. Would you mind sharing some of the amazing work that the newsroom has been doing this past year?
Thanks, Becky. We came prepared to share for sure. First, I just want to sort of run down the news team because we are sort of the iceberg of Raven Radio. We have the people... You hear a lot. There's me, news director, and then there's Catherine Rose, who has succeeded Emily Kwong as Catherine is our interim reporter, mm-hmm. and we hope to fill this job soon, the reporter job here. We have Enrique Perez de la Rosa, who is our current postgraduate fellow in community journalism. That was a job that Catherine Rose had at one time. Catherine Rose was also our intern, our summer intern at one time. We cannot seem to shake Catherine Rose.
Digging in my heels.
And we have morning hosts, too, Peter Apathy, Brooke Schaefer, Tina Bachmeyer. And just this week, we were training Aaron Fulton as morning host as well. And we do have volunteers as well. We could not run the news department without Megan Pasternak and Carol Knuth. And you're going, who in the world are those women? Of course, they're well known in town, but what do they do for the news department? They run the community calendar, which is like
essential.
Yeah,
yes.
The backbone of our digital media presence. So
the most views.
Yes.
So many users looking at the community calendar.
The community calendar was, when we set it up, we wanted it to be the go-to place to find out what's happening in Sitka, and I believe it's become that for sure. The news department... raked in a lot of awards over the past year, and I thought we'd run down some of those really quickly. For the second year in a row, reporter Emily Kwong won first place in Best Culture Reporting, and with her stories on 150 years in the making, Kiksati gathered to commemorate loss of land, and she won first place in Best Local Government and Politics Reporting. Emily was our municipal government reporter And she won first place for her story, Shareholder Unrest Shapes Sciatica Meeting. I won second place for best headline writing in all media at the Alaska Press Club. The headline was Gut Check, X-rays Provide Insight into Sitka Heroin Trafficker. I know, yuck, right?
Yeah.
That was up from third place the previous year. So this year we're shooting for number one. I just need the right story.
Just need some more guts.
Yes. Something intestinal, and we'll get up to first place for sure. And a lot of people will probably remember that for a while we had Sarah Gibson as our morning host for a while before she went off to greener pastures. But she had been a Sitka fellow, and then she was our morning host for a bit. And she produced a story called Kotzebue Volleyball Digs Deep to Play Sitka's Lady Braves. And that story won her first place in Best Sports Reporting at the Alaska Press Club. So that was great. And then we compete in another event called the Alaska Broadcasters Association. They issue an award called the Goldies. And these are the beautiful sort of statuettes on the wall as you come up the stairs mm-hmm. here at Raven Radio. And Catherine Rose bagged one of those for her. She won Best News Feature for her piece, When Preschoolers Meet Pioneer Home Residents Both Benefit. And mm-hmm. it was a lovely story that Catherine took us inside the exchange between P Home Residents and the Mount Edgecombe Preschool. And it was sweet and informative, too. I mean, it was an interesting story for sure, and well-deserved award. Catherine. Some of the things that we've been doing as a department in reporting this past year, we did a cost of living series, and Emily Kwong spearheaded that, but she brought in Catherine Rose and our summer intern, Rachel Cassandra. Also, our news volunteer, Aaron Slomsky Pritz, all produced stories for this series. It's probably got more engagement online than anything we've done, and it's not like people writing us back saying, oh, you got this wrong or you didn't do this. It was people communicating with each other mm-hmm. about the ideas discussed in the stories. And Catherine, you did a story on Tillamook ice cream.
I did. It was a way to talk about the cost of food in Sitka. The first section of this cost of living series focused on food. And I decided I wanted to follow the journey of a carton of my favorite ice cream up the West Coast to see what happens to the price. What does it cost in San Francisco? What does it cost in Portland? What does it cost in Sitka? And why the price is affected. And it was just really, the series was such a fun opportunity. We got some great tape. Rachel Cassandra for her story, did some dumpster diving. I mean, it was just a great project to sink our teeth into, and that's what's so great about the news department is we really, the stories run the gamut from the really weird and bizarre and interesting to just your daily beat reporting.
Who wouldn't sink their teeth into a story about Tillamook ice cream?
Yes, of course. Rocky Road, best flavor.
Oh, really?
I think so.
So that was fun, and I hope that next year at this time we'll be talking about awards that series has scored, because it was certainly the kind of investigative reporting that it takes a lot of concerted effort, mm-hmm. collaboration, and it also takes the basically the participation and engagement of our audience to keep us on task on this kind of enterprise mm-hmm. reporting, because it is easy to get lost in just municipal politics and the, you know, all the municipal meetings that have to be covered. And it's great to break out and kind of do this sort of reporting. So kudos to Emily, Catherine, Rachel, and Aaron Slomsky Pritz for their work on the Cost of Living series. Emily Kwong was able to get around to a lot of communities that listened to Raven Radio this summer. She did a circumnavigation of Chichikov Island with our interim general manager, Robin Sherman, who has a nice boat. Becky, FYI, it's not a bad thing to have up here.
Oh, really? A nice boat?
Yes.
Okay.
As you get into it, maybe.
It's on the shopping list.
Yes. You talk to Robin and me, you can catch a ride. But anyway, we heard stories from Pelican, Elfin Cove, and Tenneke this year that Emily Kwong produced. And I think her story from Elfin Cove was on Alaska News Nightly tonight.
Oh, tonight.
I believe I heard it. Yeah, it was at the tail end of that broadcast.
Right. The new people, the people who've taken over the fuel dock at Elfin Cove. And we love to get out to the villages surrounding Sitka, but it's a matter of time and money and circumstances just added up to do this sort of group trip this yeah. summer and gang up all these communities into one trip. And I think Emily really did a great job producing those stories. Mm-hmm. You've been talking a little bit tonight, Becky, about our digital presence. And in the news department, we do think about the website quite a lot because we are now and will always be a community radio station and a community broadcaster first. But we do operate in a digital environment, and we want to remain relevant mm-hmm. for everyone who consumes our product. And you were talking about some of the reach our stories have had on Facebook. We did a story about a local aviation entrepreneur, Tim Fulton, who's invented this thing that helps guys unload bags, guys and gals unload mm-hmm. bags in airplanes, and it was viewed by 10,400 people.
That's a lot.
In social media. And we look at Facebook, and that's sort of our most immediate way to sort of gauge how far stories travel. But Catherine can also dive into our analytics and see how many people are looking and actually reading entire stories mm-hmm. on our website as well. And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you can see how many viewers you have, and then from there, or how many views you have, and then also how many readers you have. So the difference between the amount of clicks a story gets and the amount of people who actually view it. And then you can also see how much time they're spending on our story. So, for example, we had 2,600 unique readers on that aviation story that Rob did, and people were spending about 5 minutes on average reading and listening, because, you know, we embed our audio into every mm-hmm. web post. So people are on there and you know, this is just an additional part of what we do, is we retailer every story to the web and publish it. And the importance of getting that up quickly and the immediacy of it is really kind of, I think, changed what the news team does over the, you know, past 10 years probably at KCAW.
Yeah. But well, the website's so rich. It's an incredibly rich source of information. It's an archive. It's more than just the audio that you might have missed during mm-hmm. the day. It is the story, the full story of what happens here at Raven Radio.
Absolutely.
So thanks to the newsroom for spearheading that effort.
Yeah. Any more on that, Catherine?
Sorry to have interrupted. I'm like so into the work that you
course.
Do.
Well, and also our election coverage probably was mm-hmm. the biggest view attractant of the fall season. We had about 10,000 readers in our both state election coverage and then our local election coverage. Overall, 6,000 readers for our election hub that Emily and I designed together to kind of give people a central location to find everything they needed to know about individual candidates and where they stood on the issues and the ballot propositions this fall. Yeah.
Yeah, kudos to the Election Hub, your one-stop shop for finding out where candidates stand. And we had a lot of candidates this year, too.
And you had a lot of forums as well. Like
yes.
that, it wasn't just simply one, but you were in the community making sure that folks knew, like, who was on the ballot. And
yep, we had live call-in forums for school board candidates, assembly candidates, and our two ballot propositions this year. And we also had a separate forum for the mayors mm-hmm. this year as well. Again, are we done with
staff? I think so,
staff?
Yes.
thanks, Catherine, for that. I wanted to talk just a second about the Winter Fellowship, and then I wanted to let us hear from Enrique, mm-hmm. who left us. He and I had a little chat about the fellowship. You were talking about it earlier with Mackenzie, and right now, everybody, maybe a lot of people listening are thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to miss Emily Kwong. She was such a great asset to the station, and she was.
Yes.
But when Emily Kwong came to the station, she had never reported a word in her life. You have to keep that in mind. She's going to NPR from KCAW. She came to KCAW with zero.
Right.
Right.
Learned it all here.
She learned it all here, and the fellowship did not just come out of thin air. It was a sort of a conscious effort on the part of the station to realize that we are sort of in the sweet spot of media in Alaska, maybe in the country. We're a little town where you can really get to know people, but we have massive infrastructure. We have the utility system and harbor system of a much larger community. We have tribal politics. Mm-hmm. We have local politics. We have every major politician in the state comes here at some point. We have the Science Center, we have military, we have National Park, we have Forest Service. So we are in this prime sort of proving ground for young journalists. And Emily did the program, and she's off to NPR. Catherine Rose has done the program, and who knows where Catherine is headed. I'm sure all of us are going to be working for Catherine someday. I just sense
that's
that.
That's truth.
Emily Russell was one of our fellows. She went off to become a morning host and producer for Alaska Public Media. Mm-hmm. And now she's gone and she's working for North Country Public Radio in New York. And, you know, it's
the list goes on.
The list goes on and on. And Enrique Perez de la Rosa is 23 years old and fresh out of his journalism program at the University of Washington. And I'm pretty sure that Enrique Perez de la Rosa is going to be a force in mm-hmm. journalism at some point, because he's really cutting his teeth here. And I wanted to share with you just a few minutes of a conversation I had with Enrique before he headed home for the holidays. Enrique, I always like it when you introduce yourself.
My name is Enrique Perez de la Rosa.
And you're bilingual, but I also get the feeling that you are binational in a way. You have sort of, you grew up in both the U.S. and Mexico.
Well, the way I like to think of it is I spent my life at home in a Mexican home, and my life outside, my professional and my life in school, that was a very American experience. So I did live in Mexico for a few years when I was a kid, and that experience really influenced who I am today. But I think it's living in a Spanish-speaking home within the Mexican culture at home, and then going outside to an American culture, I think that's where I get my binational and bicultural identity from.
And when did you first identify as a reporter?
That's a great question. Yeah, it took me a while to come to that, because when I was in high school, I was set in being an engineer, and that's part of the responsibility that a lot of first-generation Americans feel to make their parents' journey to the United States worthwhile. And so, you know, you want to be an engineer, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer. And eventually I found out that in college, I want to tell stories like my parents, like their stories. And that took me a while to come to, but I was really set when I got to interview my dad for an audio piece, actually, early on in my UW journalism career, I suppose, just about his journey north and what his impression was when he came to the United States. And I love that, and I love talking to him, but I also really was curious to find other stories like his.
Well, kudos to your dad for setting you up for a career in journalism. And even though it's not being an engineer or a doctor, as I tell people, it's one of the few jobs mentioned in the Constitution.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's nothing I'd rather be doing. And I do owe my father a lot, not just my ambition to be a journalist.
Enrique, how's the fellowship going so far for you?
It's fantastic. I was just thinking about this a couple days ago that, you know, it's around this time after 10 or 12 weeks that I'm wrapping up and leaving an internship. But the great thing about being a fellow and being here for so long is that you really become part of the newsroom. You become almost like another staff member. But being a fellow, there's also this support from everyone at the station to do your own projects and to kind of follow your own interests and do the kind of reporting that you're passionate about. So I've really appreciated the support that you and Emily have shown me so far, and I'm really excited to come back to work with you and with Catherine Rose and to develop longer projects and more ambitious projects.
Enrique, a lot of people have been hearing you do the evening news.
Yes.
Lately. Did you ever anticipate that you would become a radio host?
So you know very well that I got into radio at KNKX working with Ed Ronco, and he's the host of All Things Considered at KNKX. And I remember having this fear that I would just walk into the studio while he was live and constantly being aware of the clock. I don't know why I've been thinking about that. It's just I guess I was really afraid of interrupting and throwing the whole newscast for a loop and, you know, being in the way. But now I'm in control and I'm the driver behind the board. And it's a huge responsibility and it makes me very nervous. People can probably tell when I host the news. But it's a huge honor for 12 minutes every day to represent KCAW and to bring people information.
Have you sent Ed Rocco an air check yet?
Not yet. I'm waiting for a good one.
All right. Well, we could let you hear one of his early newscasts if you'd like.
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic. Please.
Enrique, finally, what are you thinking after KCAW, the postgraduate fellowship in community journalism, the winter fellowship, as we call it, goes through mid-May. Have you started to form any plans for after the fellowship?
I have been hunting for jobs, but it's really important to me to go to a station that's supportive of its reporters and where I can grow as a journalist and where that sort of growth is encouraged. I really want to go to a station that's like KCAW and do more of the community journalism that I've only gotten a taste for so far.
KCAW is very special, but it's not unique. They're out there. So I hope your hunt goes well. But until then, we've got you till May.
Yes.
All right. Enrique, it's a pleasure.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, and that was Enrique Perez de la Rosa, our winter fellow this year. And you're not imagining things. He does sound like Ari Shapiro. Sure, right?
So, scientific studies have proven.
So he's going places. And speaking of going places, I think it's widely understood that Emily Kwong has left KCAW to go to NPR, but that doesn't even begin to sort of explain what the story is. She's not technically going to work for NPR. She's won a fellowship, the John Alexander mm-hmm. Fellowship. It's called Above the Fray. Mm-hmm. So I have a little swan song here with Emily Kwong as well, where she just sort of lays out what it is and also how she came up with her project. It is a very prestigious position, but Emily, after it, she'll be a free agent again, you know.
Yeah.
There might
well,
be
we're
chance.
Working on it.
Yeah. Who knows where she'll turn up. But I thought everyone should hear, rather than us explain it, I thought everyone should hear, in her own words, why Emily Kwong is going to Mongolia. So here it is. Okay, through the miracle of technology, I'm joined by Emily Kwong, our recently departed KCAW reporter. How are you, Emily?
Hello, Rob.
You are making plans to head east to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
To get settled in at your new job at NPR, but you are not going to stay in Washington, D.C., right?
No, I will be going quite far away from Sitka, from D.C., from the United States. I'll be going to Mongolia for 2 months on assignment for NPR to report a climate migration story that I pitched for a fellowship of theirs.
Tell us, what is the elevator speech for the John Alexander Fellowship? Why did it attract you? Who gets it? And where is it? You know, where does it lead? What do you do once you got this thing?
Well, the first fellow was Brian Reed of the famous S-Town, This American Life podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been around since the early 2000s, was named in remembrance of a young reporter who died on assignment while in China. It's trying to send early career reporters to an underreported place, a place that NPR listeners could stand to learn from and where big stories are playing out. I knew I wanted to pitch a story about how climate change was affecting people on the ground. We talk a lot about policy and CO2 numbers, but not always about how it's impacting people's day-to-day life. So I wanted to find a unique story where that was happening. In Mongolia, there's a nomadic population that can't forge ahead with their livelihood because the winters are so cold, their livestock can't stand them, and they are moving to the city. So it's this rural-urban migration story about trying to forge a new economic reality in the city amid changing ecological circumstances.
Emily, so many people who know about this have asked me, why Mongolia? Why? How did Mongolia come to the top of the list?
I have a shower curtain with all the countries of the world on it, and it felt a little bit like being Carmen Sandiego, to be honest. I could have pitched a story from anywhere, but they only would have sent me someplace kind of special and somewhat unknown. So I was looking at my shower curtain, and I thought, Mongolia? I wonder what's there. Plus, was looking for a climate migration story. So it was either that or Chad, that Lake Chad is drying up and it's causing a drought that's leading to conflict. Conflict arising from climate change is another kind of thread that I could be looking at. Luckily, there is no conflict in Mongolia at this point, but there could be in the future, depending on what happens there. So,
Emily, what are the big news trends in Sitka that you've been following the past year?
Rob, a lot of what has been happening at City Hall and for citizens is this question of cost. Cost is a financial factor and is an emotional factor. When we talk about the cost of living in Sitka, it's also asking, what do we have to give up in order to afford to live here? It's City Hall asking itself, what do we have to lose service on in order to make headway someplace else? Harbors don't repair themselves, but how do we get citizens to pay for them when they're telling us they're already tapped out with all the taxes and fees? So I look at the ways that money changes social dynamics, and I think that that plays out very publicly at the assembly table, but also privately in people's homes. And a lot of what I did this year was looking at cost of living. We did this series called The Cost of Living in Sitka, focusing on food. And you can find those stories on our website. And it was just exactly the kind of reporting I think Raven Radio prides itself on, things that get a little bit behind the numbers to the people who grapple with them.
Yeah, and a great collaboration with Art Change and the 14 Miles series.
Yes, we also did stories on housing, and we produced two videos. One was about the desire for a homeless shelter and the rising homeless population in Sitka, and the other was about multifamily homes, accessory dwelling units. What does that mean? What are income properties? What are alternate? Is the American dream still possible? Can you, a single family own a home? And we found it not the way they perhaps once could, perhaps when you were younger and had moved to Sitka to start a family. So cost of living for sure. And that is all tied in with, looking at infrastructure. And the other big story we've been covering, you and I both, the past 2 years, is this hospital conversation. What began as a talk is now turning into action, is turning into potential merger. And whether the city will sign an agreement with Search, and if that happens, how quickly that merger could happen, whether we will see a hospital change in 2019 is kind of the big story for Sitka.
And even though we've changed out assembly personnel, it looks like the conversation is moving forward. Emily, how do you say goodbye in one of the 200 dialects of Mongolia?
Haven't studied that particular part of the handbook yet.
Okay. I don't know how many dialects there are in Mongolia, but I assume there are a lot.
Yeah. I will let you know when I find out.
Yeah. Drop us a line.
Thank you. Send you a postcard?
We'll take it.
Thanks, Rob.
Emily Kwong, the KCAW reporter who is headed to NPR and the John Alexander Fellowship and a few months in Mongolia.
Yes. And you can hear the stories on NPR in May. I'll let Raven Radio know when they'll air, and they'll be hopefully a little longer than most NPR stories. They'll be like 6 or 7 minutes.
Wow.
If I can prove that the stories have deserve that airtime. I hope I can.
I can't wait. Thanks,
Thank
Emily.
You.
And thanks to all of the amazing newsroom folks, KCAW, and our news is just incredible. So you're listening to the annual meeting here on Raven Radio, and I am now joined by Max Kritzer, the program director. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Tell us about what's going on
in
your world. In
the programming department. So I sort of broke this down into a few different categories. We'll start with sort of our operations, tech, a lot of EAS stuff. There's a lot that happens behind the scenes to keep us on the air and to keep everything sounding smooth. Most of it you don't need to worry about as a listener or member. We don't want you to worry about or be aware of, really. But some highlights include this past year, we became the local primary one for the state of Alaska's Emergency Alert System Plan. LP1s, as they are known, are broadcast stations, which are the primary sources of local area emergency messages, as well as local relay stations for national and state level EAS messages. Speaking of EAS, we did have the tsunami back in last January, the tsunami warning, which was a great test of our statewide systems, but also a really great test for us here at the station. Really proud of how we were able to get on the air and broadcast and put out information without putting ourselves in harm's way by coming down here to the cable house using some of the same systems as we use for our assembly broadcasts. We were able to, both Rob, who was going on the air to make announcements, I was engineering remotely, but we were able to be safe and in locations with higher ground. Also this summer, every 3 years, we participate in the FCC Alternative Broadcast Inspection Program. So essentially what that means is someone comes and visits the station and goes through a checklist to make sure that we're in compliance with the FCC, which is very important as they are who grants us our license to operate. And we were in compliance, so we got recertified, and we even received a special Outstanding Service Award. So that was very cool. And then I'm proud of also this past year, we figured out to start doing more live streaming extra meetings on Facebook. We had a few city assembly meetings, I believe a hospital meeting also, that went into two nights, or we, you know, juggling how can we let people know about these things, provide good coverage, but make it easy on staff and not interfere with our regular programming. And I think we found a good solution.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I'm sure a tool we will continue to use. So a little bit about our community connections. Of course, community, just about the most important thing for community radio. And a little bit of numbers here, too. I did some counting earlier this week. So we produce, you might hear the 30-second promos or spots that we play throughout the day, promoting you know, safe activities or fundraising events for nonprofits and community organizations all over town. And this past year, we produced 82 of these PSAs. I believe I had 81, produced another one this morning. So that was 82 for the year.
A real-time count.
Yeah, and that doesn't include PSAs produced by organizations themselves. That's just ones that I had a hand in helping as a staff member. And, of course, if you are a nonprofit or community organization and would like to get the word out, be it an event you have coming up or you're recruiting for board members or volunteers, please get in touch with me. In terms of programmers, volunteer programming, as it is, of course, volunteers, we have about 40 to 50 volunteers who regularly do shows every week. And we had 26 people took the on-air training class this year, and 22 people did their first flights, their first shows on Raven Radio this year. So that's 22 people we welcome to as Raven Radio programmers. And then throughout the year, we had 100 different volunteer hosts, host music shows or local talk shows, 100 people. And then that's not counting the Mount Edgecombe Radio Club, which can fluctuate in number a little bit. So about 115-ish different volunteers have gone on air on Raven Radio this year.
Oh, cool.
And speaking of the Mount Edgecombe Radio Club and youth involvement, we've done a few different things with youth. We did a preschool tour with the Mount Edgecombe Preschool. We've given a tour of the station to Raven's Way. We've done a few different things with youth advocates of Sitka over the year. And then just recently, Pacific High School started a radio club. So I'm excited about that. And then sort of an overview of programming. Let's see, we had the various shows that started this year. Health Chat launched back in January, moved around a little bit in the beginning, but now every other Sunday afternoon, alternating with the Nature Show, Martha Pearson hosts the program and interviews all sorts of people about all sorts of health topics. And then that's a half-hour program. Right after that is a new show, Poetry Unbound, with Mackenzie, our development director.
Well, well, well.
Yeah, with poems, music, interviews. We also started airing a syndicated program, Travel with Rick Steves, which is a travel-related show, guests talking about places, different cultures. The show has a nice philosophy. Dave Sam is hosting, started back in the spring, I believe, Indigenous and Other Expressions, which is a really awesome show. And Dave has a load of radio experience at a few other stations. It's a show that highlights music performed by Native and Indigenous artists. We got now Listen Up on Friday evenings. Kick off your Friday night with an eclectic reggae-centric mix from host Rachel Ramsey. We started airing in the summer another statewide program called Line One, Your Health Connection, which is Wednesday mornings and is more or less like, as I described to people, talk of Alaska, but about health. Mm-hmm. Another new show, FM All Up, or I believe maybe some different names pending, but yeah. Our new GM here, Becky Myers, is hosting a show Thursday evenings, 10 p.m. to midnight.
That's true.
It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend you tune in. And we started airing a new morning module. Tuesday mornings, we're airing a program, a minute and a half program called Climate Connections, about the way climate change is affecting all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And then some announcements of upcoming programs. We do America Public Media, did pull the plug on Writer's Almanac about a year ago, and they do have a replacement that will be starting up in January. It's called The Slowdown, and that's hosted by U.S. Poet Laureate Tracy K. Smith. I was just telling Mackenzie about that, who is hosts the poetry program. She was very excited. And so that'll start sometime in January, and that'll be a daily five-minute little poetry thing that'll air around 8:30-ish in the morning. Also, starting this Sunday, we've got a little series called Sea Change. It's a five-part educational series on climate change created by students from the University of California. University of California, Santa Cruz, with leadership from Dr. Christy Croker and in partnership with Raven Radio, Catherine being the point person on that project. And so that'll, it's about five episodes, around 8 minutes long, and that'll start airing this Sunday at noon. And we'll also have it online for you. And then was just talking to, just in the works, but brewing a little with Art Change about getting some of the storytelling events on the radio. So be sure to stay tuned for that. There's always loads of exciting things brewing. And if you have any interest in, if you have any ideas, any interest in volunteering with the station and getting on the air, please get in touch. You can call us at 747-5877. My email is max@kcaw.org. And so, yeah, that goes both for getting involved in volunteering with Raven Radio and feedback too. You know, what you're enjoying, what you're not enjoying, what you'd like to see change. Would love to hear from you.
Indeed. And thanks to everybody. Thank you, Max, for that report and to hear about all the new programming, including maybe one that I do or something. I am joined by Molly and Max and Rob. We are here to answer any questions or comments that you have right now. The phone line is open for your calls. Call 747-5877. And we'd love to answer any questions that you have, any comments. We appreciate your participation in this community. That phone number again is 747-5877. If you have any questions you've been dying to ask or have any comments about what you hear on the radio, please give us a call. This is the chance to do so. We have about 12 minutes left in this program, and so give us a shout. That number, 747-5877. In the interim, while we, take a moment, while you formulate those questions, while you think about that perfect thing to say, we'll listen to a little bit of music. So please give us a call. That number one more time, 747-5877. We're here for you. Well, hello. We have a call. Hello, caller.
Gosh, am I the first call?
You are, in fact. Welcome.
This is John Stein calling.
Hi, John.
How are you tonight?
We're doing wonderfully.
Coming on board. You're right. I'm talking to the
to
manager,
Becky.
Right?
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't identified voices yet or remembered names, but
you'll hear me a lot more. It'll get easier.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks. So whenever you want me to
go for it,
comment, I will do. Okay.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate the connections with Greater Sitka Arts Council and how the radio station integrates with it, the nonprofits in the community, and also with the Sitka History Museum. Our esteemed Hal Spackman does the History Minute a couple times a week, I think,
mm-hmm.
and that's still on, and that's very good. I appreciate that. I'm on the boards of directors for both of those. So, anyway, and I really didn't expect to listen to this meeting tonight, but I have to tell you that it was quite engaging, and I really enjoyed being a part of the meeting, and I learned a lot. So, good luck to all the new folks, and congratulations to those who are leaving. Appreciate you being on the air. You're part of my life.
Oh, thank you. Okay. We're glad to be a part of it. And thank you for calling with your comment.
Sure. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. We had another caller just now, but yeah, I appreciate the excellent comments, and like I love being part of all of your lives, even though it's only been about 2 months at this point.
It already feels like it's been longer than that, Becky, in a good way.
Okay, good.
Do we have another caller?
Not yet. I think Max is going to try and send it in here. The number is 747-5877. We're happy to take your call. Sorry, I wasn't able to pick up that second line, but we have an open line now if you want to speak to our general manager, Becky Myers, or Molly Kabler's here. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director.
Mm-hmm.
Max Kritzer, our program director, is here. We're just waiting to hear from you in the last 6 minutes of our annual meeting. I think John said something that was kind of interesting about how Raven Radio kind of connects people and organizations. And he mm-hmm. mentioned the Sitka Historical Museum. And I sometimes do see us at the spoke or the hub mm-hmm. of this wheel that has many spokes into the nonprofit sector and into the business community and into our private homes. And somehow we're kind of a unifying force in this community and in our the communities that around Sitka that listen to us. This is a way people and organizations kind of communicate to each other. And it's maybe it's a hub of a wheel. Maybe it's like this kind of big magnet, or you know, this thing that just has gravity at the middle mm-hmm. of a community. So I think John's very perceptive mm-hmm. About that. So.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of the amount of connection that we have amongst all variety of people and organizations here in Sitka and outside of Sitka. Nonprofits like Raven Radio, like, you know, the Arts Council, like everybody here, we all serve an incredibly important part, I think, of like a general societal structure. And the more, I guess, support that we can lend each other, and through the, you know, something like communication, which we do, like verbally and through audio and all along our website, through the newscast, there are lots of different ways that we can talk to one another, and doing so is kind of an essential part of being in the world with one another.
It's the conversation of the community, and it's both informational and newsmaking, and then it's companionable. So it's all three of those pieces that this community radio station serves. John mentioned that he was a board member of both the History Museum and the Greater Sitka Arts Council.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of reflects, I think, what's very common in this community, in that people are involved in more than one thing, and the spokes, the laps, whatever we were talking about, there's a lot of overlap and a lot of interconnection through both organizations and people who care deeply about different aspects of the community and spend a lot of time helping to make this community be the incredible thing it is.
That's totally true.
Yeah, so we've got we're on till BBC headlines at 8:01.
We have
4 minutes.
4 whole minutes. So 4 minutes for
7, 4, 7, 5, 8, 7, 7. And you know, the really amazing thing is this time you don't have to make a pledge.
No money is called for. Just tell us how.
We just want you to be a part of the community, and you can call and you know, chat with us, answer, have any of your questions answered. We're here for you. That number one more time is 7, 4, 7, 5, 8, 7, 7.